use one of those. There's not one this week because tomorrow I'm taking some vacation time and I'm going to go to be with my dad who's having his kidney transplant surgery this week. And so no sermon notes in there this week, but as always, if there's ever anything that God is speaking to your heart, a way that you want to respond, please feel free to send me an email. Would love to hear that, pray with you, encourage you on your faith journey. And now I invite you to join me in prayer. God, we come here this morning from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. So we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. And transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this place the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I had a very moving experience this week. A woman from our church came to visit me. Her name is Cindy. And Cindy has been a pillar of Good Shepherd for many years. She was actually the one that started the missions program at our church. She's traveled to all kinds of places like Madagascar, Honduras, Guatemala. In the later years of her life, Cindy is now dealing with early stages dementia. And she wanted to share her God stories with me so they wouldn't be forgotten. She wanted other people to know that God really is real, that God answers prayers, that God works miracles, that God reaches out in love. And I asked her why she came to me. She simply said, God told her to. I'm like, wow. Like, I've been chosen and entrusted to share her story, God's story, with the world. What a huge honor and responsibility. So how do you think I should respond? Pretend I did nothing, told no one. Never shared anything. How would you feel about that? How do you think she would feel about that? It would be a terrible loss for the world and for me personally. And this whole experience gave me a fresh perspective on our vital sign for today. We've been going through a series called Vital Signs. We're checking our spiritual vital signs, those key faith practices that are essential for spiritual health in our lives, in the church. And today's vital sign is reach. And the good news is that God is reaching out in love to all. And God has chosen us, entrusted us to share that incredible story of love with the world. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said to his followers, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." What a huge honor and responsibility. A calling this big can feel intimidating, even for a pastor. I mean, we might fear that we don't know enough, or we're not good enough, or we're not skilled enough, or we'd never be able to do well enough. We might fear that other people will dismiss us, or ignore us, or reject us, or worse. And we could let fear or any other factor keep us from doing anything, keep us from telling anyone, from sharing anything. But what a terrible loss that would be for the world and for us personally. Thankfully, success with this faith practice has never been based on our ability, but God's. Jesus makes it very clear, our effectiveness is based on God's presence and power working through us. There's no better example than a guy named Jonah. The song before the message said that God can use nobodies, not quites, never get it right, to share his salvation story. I cannot think of a better example than Jonah. Jonah is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. because he gets just about everything wrong. And yet, God is still able to work powerfully through his life. And it gives me hope that maybe God can use an ordinary, flawed person like me. The book of Jonah in the Bible is just four short chapters. And to give you a little bit of background, I thought I'd ask some help from my friends at VeggieTales. Cue the music. It's okay to move in church. Jonah was a prophet, but he really never got it. Sad but true, and if you watch it, you can spot it. A doo-doo-doo. He did not get the... Sing it with me. Jonah was a prophet, but he really never got it. Sad but true, and if you watch it, you can spot it. A doo-doo-doo. He did not get the point once more. Jonah was a prophet, but he really never got it. Sad but true, and if you watch it, you can spot it. A doo-doo-doo. He did not get the point. Good job. Nice. You can have fun in church. It's okay. As the song said, Jonah was a prophet, and he really never got it. A prophet is simply somebody who shares God's word with others. And Jonah's ministry took place between 800 to 750 BC. Jonah was part of the nation of Israel, a special people that God chose to bless the whole world. And during the ministry of Jonah, God clearly reached out in love to Israel. At the time, their king was a man named Jeroboam II. He was an evil king who did wrong in God's eyes. And the nation of Israel suffered defeat and they lost land. Although they didn't earn it or deserve it, God reached out in love to Israel. We hear the story in 2 Kings chapter 14. Jonah prophesied that God would help them restore their nation. And sure enough, God's word came to pass, and Jeroboam restored the boundaries of Israel. It's like God was reaching out with a big God hug to the nation. I mentioned Cindy at the beginning of the message. There was a moment in her life where God was clearly reaching out in love to her. As Cindy's husband was dying of cancer, she didn't know what to pray. And so she would come to church and she would pray, God, would you give me strength? Would you hold me in your arms like a big hug? She never told anyone that prayer. On the night of her husband's death, she was kneeling beside his bed. And she looked up and it looked like there were three figures in robes standing by the bed. She was so distraught that she kind of just ignored it and didn't think more of it. The next day, she was talking with her daughter, who was also in the room. And her daughter said, Mom, I wanted to come to you, but I couldn't because of the man. Cindy said, what man? And her daughter said, what do you mean, what man? There was a man standing over you the whole time, holding you in his arms. And Cindy realized God had answered her prayer. And she wants other people to know that God really does answer your prayer, even if you might not see it or feel it in the moment. And God is reaching out in love to you. Sadly, the nation of Israel didn't share Cindy's same desire to pass on the good news. They had been recipients of God's remarkable love, but they became complacent and quite judgmental. They were unwilling to reach out in love to others, especially foreigners and enemies. So God sent Jonah on a special mission to give them a fresh perspective on this vital sign. The word of God came to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh and warn them of God's judgment against their wickedness. Jonah was not a fan of the plan. The Ninevites were foreigners and enemies of Israel. Jonah didn't want to go. We find out why a little bit later in chapter 4, verse 2. Jonah said, "This is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people." Jonah knew God gives mercy. He didn't want to give it to Nineveh. In Ezekiel 33:11, God said, "I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to turn from their wicked ways and live." God was reaching out in love to Nineveh, and Jonah wanted no part of it. So Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. You have to see a map to get the full picture. So Nineveh, all the way on the right. Tarshish, all the way on the left. Jonah got in a boat at Joppa to sail to Tarshish. Now, back then, they didn't have hourly ferry rides like they do today. And scholars think Jonah bought the boat so that he could sail in the opposite direction. And that's how far he was willing to go to run away from God. I don't know, have you ever tried to run away from God? I know from experience, it doesn't turn out well. And it didn't turn out well for Jonah. God sent a storm. It was so violent, the sailors aboard feared for their lives. Jonah's refusal to reach put other lives at risk. When we refuse to reach, we too put other lives at risk. On her first mission trip to Madagascar, Cindy was overwhelmed by the filth and sickness and death that she saw. And she cried out to God and said, "How can you allow this to happen?" And she felt like God said back, "How can you?" And in that moment, she caught a glimpse of God's big heart for the world. And she understood why he calls us to reach out with his love and help to those in need. Friends, there are people all around us whose lives are marred by brokenness, heartache, loneliness, injustice, struggle, pain. There are people all around us who are heading towards an eternity separated from God. When we refuse to reach, we put other lives at risk. Ironically, Jonah was supposed to be the godly person on board, but the pagan sailors put him to shame. Jonah's fast asleep, and the pagan sailors are praying to their pagan gods. They wake Jonah up and beg him to pray to his God. They cast lots to see who's to blame, and the short straw falls on Jonah. That's when he finally confesses that he worships the one true God who made the earth and the sea, and that he was running away from this God. Jonah tells them to throw him overboard. Some commentators have said that Jonah was willing to risk his life to save theirs. I don't buy it. I think he was just that stubborn. He didn't want to pray and repent, so he chose death rather than surrender. Again, the sailors put him to shame. Nobody wants to throw him overboard, so they keep rowing and they keep struggling until they just can't do it anymore. And finally, they pray to Jonah's God and ask for mercy as they throw him overboard. And the moment Jonah goes overboard, the storm stops. Revival breaks out on that little boat. The sailors offer sacrifices. They vow to serve Jonah's God. I love this. Jonah does everything wrong, and yet God is still able to work powerfully through his life. Although Jonah didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, God reached out in love to him. God provided a fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah stayed in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Now, some people have questioned the validity of this story. There actually is another story of a man by the name of James Bartley who was found alive after he was swallowed by a whale. Now, you could offer rational explanations for this story, and that's great. I think God worked a miracle for Jonah. God can do that. Cindy has experienced many of God's miracles in her life. Years before she went on her first mission trip, she broke a bone in her foot while dancing. And it was just in a weird enough spot that from time to time, the bone would break again. When she went to Madagascar for her mission trip, she had a really rough start. She was exhausted, depressed. She got sick and had a high fever. As if all that wasn't bad enough, the bone in her foot broke again. On her bed, she prayed, "Seriously, God?" She said, "If you don't fix this, I'm leaving." And the next morning, her foot was completely healed. And that bone has not broken again since the 1990s. And Cindy wants other people to know, God still works miracles today. And God worked a miracle for Jonah. And he had a come to God moment in the belly of the fish. In chapter 2, we find a prayer from Jonah, which is a beautiful testimony of how God saved his life, how God showed him mercy, saved him from death, gave him a brand new hope. Jesus would later use the analogy of Jonah in the fish for 3 days to describe his own death and resurrection. The parallels are striking. Like Jonah, we didn't earn or deserve God's love. We all have done wrong and deserve God's punishment. And yet Jesus reached out in love to us. He came to earth. He died on the cross to pay the punishment for our sin. And now he reaches out with his free gifts of mercy, salvation from death, the hope of eternal life. If you've never walked into that God hug before and received those gifts, today would be a wonderful day to do that. 3 days later, the fish vomited Jonah on dry land. And the word of God came to Jonah a second time and called him to go to Nineveh. Our God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. And maybe you're here this morning because God wants you to know he's given you another chance to live out his purposes for your life. Well, Jonah reluctantly went to Nineveh. In Nineveh, he gave the worst sermon ever. It was literally 8 words. 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed, period. I mean, he didn't even try. Like, there's no love, there's no illustrations, there's no explanations. And yet, revival broke out in the city. Everyone believed. The king ordered all the people to fast, to repent from their sin, to pray to God for salvation. And sure enough, God showed mercy to the Ninevites. Again, Jonah does everything wrong, and yet God is able to work powerfully through his life. We think Jonah might be happy, but he was mad. He prayed, "See, I knew it. I told you, God. I knew you would be merciful. And now you saved the people. I'm so mad. I'd rather die. Just kill me. Kill me right now." Interesting how grateful he was when God showed him mercy. And yet how reluctant he was for God to show others mercy. Now, God could have lost patience with Jonah, could have just zapped him out of existence. Okay, maybe that's what I would have done to Jonah if I was God. But instead, God reaches out to Jonah again in love. God made a plant that grew up and provided shade for Jonah in the hot sun. In the shade, Jonah was happy again. But then a worm came and ate the plant and it died. No more shade, hot sun, Jonah's mad again and he wants to die. And so God speaks to Jonah. God said, "You feel sorry about the plant, though you didn't make it. Nineveh has over 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention the animals. Should I not feel sorry for such a great city?" We see God's heart for the world. And God wants to reach out to this world in love through us. We're not told how Jonah responds, because it's for us to respond. You see, God chose you. God entrusted you to share his incredible love story with the world. So how are you going to respond? Thankfully, this is not about our ability. It's always been about God's ability. And though Jonah didn't do very much right, we can still learn some lessons from his story about how to reach well And I'll close with three application steps, the crawl, walk, and run step. The crawl step is look out. God put the people of Nineveh on Jonah's radar. Be on the lookout for who God puts on your radar. Maybe it's someone who's hurting or lonely or struggling or spiritually distracted. Maybe even ask God, who do you want me to see? And when God puts someone on your radar, reach out. Be a friend. Show them love. Serve them. Invite them to be a part of our faith community. There are so many neat things to invite people to coming up. We have our trunk or treat. We have Advent tea, the middle school overnight. We have a new sermon series coming up on mental health called Inner Battles. Invite them. It's amazing what God can do through a simple invitation. Last week, I led our new member orientation, and I asked that everyone raise their hand that they came to Good Shepherd because they knew someone else here. A few months ago, God put a woman on my radar. She's homebound, feeling depressed and alone. I invited her to come to one of our Lenten services in the evening. I picked her up, drove her here, and it was that night that she trusted in Jesus as her Lord and Savior for the very first time. Last week, I had the privilege of baptizing her in the sanctuary. Pay attention this week. Who is God putting on your radar? Look out. The walk step is speak out. Jonah shared his testimony of how God saved his life. Jesus calls us to be his witnesses, to give our own testimony about him. And a testimony is simply your story of how God made a difference in your life, what life was like before and what life was like after. This weekend, I was helping lead a marriage retreat. The reason why I'm in marriage ministry is because God saved my marriage. I was a sinful, selfish, destructive man before God got a hold of me. And at my lowest point, God reached out to me with his saving love. And ever since I surrendered my life to Jesus, he's been healing my hurts, setting me free from hurtful addictions, teaching me how to love my wife and love my family the way that he loves me. What's your testimony? If you've never done this before, I challenge you this week, write a 2-minute testimony, just a short testimony that you might be able to share when the opportunity arises, and then pray for that opportunity. You don't have to be a pastor for God to use your testimony in powerful ways. There's a student at our church who runs cross country for their school. He's been the top runner at 7 of the last 8 meets. At the last meet, his mom found his Bible outside of his gym bag. She asked him about it. He said he's been praying before every race. At first, it was just him and another friend from their youth group. But now they have 10 other runners who are praying with them before every race. Speak out. And then the run step is go out. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh, which was over 500 miles away. And God might call you to go on a mission trip, to reach out with his love in faraway places. Right now, as I speak, we have a team serving in Honduras. This is an incredible way to reach. But God might also call you to go out and reach people right here in this city that God loves. I have a mentor who is passionate about street evangelism. He was in town this week, and he took me out with him. Now, I have to tell you, this is so far out of my comfort zone. I am naturally shy and introverted. I was terrified at the thought of going up to a complete stranger and very doubtful that anyone would want to have a God conversation with me. But I went with him. Towards the end of our time together, we spotted a young man who was sitting by himself out on the Riverwalk. I was nervous to go up to him. I felt like I stumbled through the entire conversation. And yet God worked powerfully through that moment. We told him that we were going around praying for people, asked if he wanted us to pray for him. To my surprise, he said yes. And he gave us a prayer request. He had no faith background, and yet he was open to having me share mine with him. I was floored when he said I could sit down and read to him from the Bible about God's love story. At the end of our conversation, he said he was open to receiving Jesus as his Savior and asked what church I went to. Now, I tried to keep a straight face through the whole thing, but inside I'm like, I cannot believe this is happening. But it reinforced, it's not about us. It's all about God, the God that's working before we're there, when we're there, after we're there. Friends, go out. If you'd like to learn how to do something like this, or maybe even want to go out with me sometime, let me know. I'd love to equip you. Go out. God is reaching out in love to all, and he's chosen you. God has entrusted you to share this incredible story of love with the world. How are you going to respond? I challenge you this week to take one of our steps. Would you say them out loud with me? Look out, speak out, and go out. We're going to give you some time to pray and reflect about how God is speaking to you, how God is calling you to respond, and then I'll close our time in prayer. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for reaching out in love to us. God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's never before walked into that God hug, never before received the free gifts you offer through Jesus, that they would make today their day to do that. And if I'm speaking to you right now, you're here for a reason. And I invite you to pray silently along with me in your heart. And if you've prayed a prayer like this before, just pray along in affirmation. Silently in your heart, just say these simple words. God, I know that I've done wrong. I know I don't deserve or earn your love, but I believe that Jesus came to save me. You gave your life for me, now I give my life to you. I ask you to forgive me, to save me, and to lead me from this day forward. In Jesus' name. If you prayed a prayer like that, you